Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Gene Purcell. America's first drink has been enjoying a renaissance in recent years as more artisans are making and more people are drinking hard apple cider.
On a windy fall day, Deirdre Birmingham takes us on a walk through her cider orchard near Blanchardville.
I'm Deirdre Birmingham, and I own the cider farm near rural Hollandale, and I'm the chief executive orchardist here. My husband is the CTO, which is our chief tractor officer, since I break it and he repairs it. Cider came over with people who emigrated here first, and that was from England, and they brought with them apple trees, apple seeds. A lot of that was apples for drinking. It wasn't apple pie so much that they were after. And in fact, it was safer to drink than the water in the earliest days. There weren't sanitary systems, so you were at risk just drinking water. But then as people started moving, you know, west of the Mississippi, around that time you also had a lot of German immigration. And then Prohibition came along, and orchards that had been developed for cider apples were cut down. And they started calling apple juice then cider. So that was kind of the end of cider as part of our culture. And now it's coming back, and people are discovering what our early American presidents enjoyed so much. John Adams was known to drink a tankard every morning, felt that was good for his health. I don't practice that myself, but I might have my little tankard in the evening. Cider apples are categorized into four groups, and one is your sweets. Another one is your sharps, and those would be tart apples, so they're high in acid, like a Macintosh. Another is bittersweet, so the bitter means it has tannins, and then it's low in acid. Then you have bitter sharps that are both high in acid and in tannins. I have about a total of 12 varieties, two of those being the U.S. disease-resistant cultivars, and then the others being the nine English and one French variety. So we still have a few apples up higher on the trees that I'll be coming through with the ladder to get as we just kind of finish up things. Otherwise, we're finishing our harvest of Liberties and our English cider apples. We just finished harvesting. The latest maturing one was Stabenet. Chiseled Jersey is another one from the Jersey region of England. And so we just finished those late ones last week. Ciders are typically a blended product. So doing a single varietal cider is not the norm. The norm is to do a blend. There's a lot of art to it, just like there is to wine making. So, and in the U.S. there are starting to be some very nice, finely crafted ciders. So soon in the liquor sections, we'll be seeing a cider section. And that's what we need. We need more and more cider makers so that now you not just see wine or beer, you see cider.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
And here with us to talk more about our cider heritage and our cider future is Dan Bussey. He is an apple historian and orchard manager for the Seed Savers Exchange. Dan, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to start by talking about a little bit about the history of cider, because I have to say, this was news to me, knowing that cider was as big as it was. It's always been around, but in my lifetime anyway, it's always been just sort of a minor player. It's been one tap in a land of many taps.
Yes. Cider has had a long history in this country, and especially it came over from Europe, where it was developed there. I don't know at what point in time. I know the early Romans and Greeks had cider available. It was a very popular beverage, and I remember during the Hundred Years' War between England and France, Cider really came into its own because wine from France was obviously very difficult to get a hold of, and so cider was made into the beverage that was politically correct to drink.
And as I understand it, here in the United States, cider was popular in part because apples were easy to grow.
Yes, apples could be grown in so many different places compared to until there was enough cultivatable land to be able to grow grain. Apples were much easier to grow, and within a few years you could have a decent crop. Most apples in this country were fairly nasty to eat, but the cider they could make was the beverage of choice.
And when you say the beverage of choice, was it the beverage of choice for everyone? Did families drink cider? We heard in the Wisconsin Life piece that one of the issues was that water was not necessarily safe to drink, and presumably something alcoholic like cider might have been.
Oh, it was much safer, actually. There were a lot of areas where the water was polluted badly with the amount of animals and things that were pastured, usually near most streams. A lot of water was not very safe. And so it was considered a healthful beverage, even for children to have at once upon a time. Most alcoholic ciders made in the early days were 6% or less, and so they weren't terribly alcoholic. But later on, that did change, and therefore it became a problem as it was more fortified. At that point in time, then ciders were not looked upon quite as readily as they did before.
And so then what happened to ciders that they sort of disappeared from the landscape?
Well, as I think more immigrants from like Germany and other areas where beer drinking was a little bit more advanced in the culture, beer ended up taking over, I think, as the beverage of choice. Up until 1930, apple cider, meaning hard cider and or sweet cider, was the most popular beverage. After Florida was developed and oranges were allowed to grow, orange juice eventually replaced apple juice and apple cider as the beverage, the type of fruit, or far as a fruit beverage.
Now, the ciders that we're seeing today, all of a sudden you're starting to see them pop up all over the place. Is it the same cider we're drinking today that we may have been drinking 200 years ago?
In essence, yes, it is. A true artisanal cider is one of the most simple beverages that you could ever find. It's just basically apple juice, sometimes a small amount of sugar to augment the amount of alcohol it can potentially produce for shelf life, basically, and yeast, the Saccharomyces strain of yeast. That's it. It's simpler to make, actually, than beer.
So when you're talking about making cider, what kind of apples are good for that? And are there any sort of heritage apples that are being used for cider?
Oh, there's a long history of heritage apples. Typically, a lot of the crab varieties were ones that were the most popular. One of Jefferson's favorite cider varieties was the Hughes crab, Hughes Virginia crab, also as it's known by, and another variety called Taliaferro. And there was Campfield, and there was a number of other apples that were well-known for cider. And they tended to be small apples, and ones that you really wouldn't want to eat. They were not very tasty, but they had a lot of sugar embedded in them, and a lot of the flavors that when you ferment those sugars away have the background characteristics of the bittersweet and bittersharp flavors, as Deirdre was mentioning, that give your cider character and body.
You know, we hear a lot about home brewers today and even people who make wine at home. Is this cider something where people are starting to pick that up and be making a lot of cider at home as well?
Yes, they're finding that it's such a simple beverage to make, and it's so pleasant to have. It's very refreshing. It can be put away and stored for a long period of time. Granted, the only issue is that you have a fairly short window of time when you have apples available that you can actually make cider.
And so finally, what would you recommend, say somebody's listening to this discussion and they may have seen a bottle of cider somewhere, but they've never tried it before? What sorts of things should they be thinking about as they try it, and what would you recommend to that person?
Well, there are getting to be a greater amount of varieties available. What I'm seeing, though, is a lot of the mass, the larger breweries that are starting to carry lines of cider. And the problem with this is not really a true artisanal cider. Many of these type of ciders are made with upwards of 65% of just the sugar water solution and 35% of apple flavoring. That way you get reproducible results. The true artisanal ciders are made with a good blend of apples. Very seldom are they single varietals. but a good mix that gives your cider character and body that is just nothing but apple juice.
And it sounds more like almost a wine thing where it's going to differ from year to year.
Oh, yes, exactly. That's what a true cider should be. It should be very different. Last year was a very dry year, and so I considered that a very vintage year for our cider quality. The size of the apples was kind of small, but the sugars in them was very concentrated, and the quality of the cider that I was able to put away last year, I think, was just phenomenal. Years like this where there's a little bit more moisture, it's good, but not quite the same. Each year should be different. And that's the best thing about it.
And this is a silly question, but I just have to ask it. How long does cider keep? Is it like wine where it gets better with age, or you got a window there?
A small window, yes. You can usually keep bottled ciders for literally years before they tend to maybe lose some of the flavors. You don't typically have, like with wines, that sometimes they improve that much with age. They're generally good within the first couple of years.
Well, Dan, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Dan Bussey, apple historian and orchard manager for the Seed Savers Exchange.